Now we are in the book of Joshua. We're in Joshua chapter 2. This is a third message in Joshua, not that we're really counting. But I remind you of that because this morning I've entitled the message, Good News for the Least Likely. I also thought of the title of Can I Share the Gospel? Will I Be Okay? Because how many of y'all are just bold and brash and you just walk out there and you walk up to anybody and tell them the good news of Jesus Christ? I mean, I remember when I was young as a teenager, went to a summer camp, and we went to Mobile, Alabama, and were driven in a bus to a mall, and we were tossed out, and we went to share Jesus. This little boy was scared to death. But it was neat to see that God is faithful, and He brought into my life a couple of gracious people who heard this crazy little teenager running around loving Jesus and trying to share the gospel. Now, honestly, I'm not big on that method of sharing the gospel, okay? Y'all, if you know me, I'm not too into that. But to this day, I remember the terror of stepping off that bus. I mean, y'all get what I'm saying? You've got a neighbor who has an issue, and the Spirit's sitting there going, kicking you in the backside, going, tell him about Jesus. And what do? You're going to think I'm a three-headed monster. I mean, come on. You have fear of sharing the gospel. We all do. We have a fear of man. I want you to love me. I want you to like me. I want you to worship me because I want you to believe I'm God. Okay? Roots issue of sin in all of us. And here's the interesting thing. As we study through the book of Joshua, we have been doing what we call epical adjustments. That's a big fancy theological word, meaning that we take the old stuff and we apply it today. Remember, the Old Testament is Old Covenant believers. They were looking forward to the cross of Jesus. We look back to the cross of Jesus. The stories are the same, but the message is now updated from Old to New Covenant, the complete fulfillment of Jesus Christ. Because who is the fulfillment of all the promises of the Old Testament? Sunday school answer? Jesus. Exactly. You guys know this, that Jesus Christ is the answer. He is the fulfillment of the covenant. All the promises from Abraham to Israel to King David, all of these things are fulfilled and seen in the work of Jesus Christ. And so we know the gospel. We talk about this. We're trying to become gospel-saturated people. As we've said again and again, the desire of your elders is that if we poke you, the gospel falls out of you. Because we want you to ooze the gospel in everything. The reality that, you know what, I'm not righteous. My God is a holy God and I'm far from it. But He had enough love and mercy that before the foundation of the world, He planned to send Jesus. I can find that all the way back in Genesis 3:15 when He turned to Eve and to Adam as He's pronouncing judgments for their sins against Him. And He says, He will crush your head and you will bruise His heel. Really smoky, messed up, stinky mirror. You really can't see Jesus, but you can. He's there. It's the promise that continues to unfold. And we get that, most of us as believers, don't we? And so when we come to the book of Joshua, I can think of how many times we've had these wonderful moral Sunday school lessons. If you are obedient and you keep your sword sharp, you'll win the battle. That's not the message of Joshua. We've been talking about a theme since the very beginning. And that is that God gives His people their inheritance. And that's the message of the book of Joshua. When we went back to Exodus, what was the message there? God is going to redeem His people out of bondage. And so Moses is a picture of Jesus Christ. Joshua, you see the similarity? He is the one who delivers the inheritance. And so in Jesus, we get the inheritance Jesus purchased for us. It becomes ours. And so we're going to make these epical adjustments as we work through the text today. So you've heard the narrative read, Joshua chapter 2. Let me give you the summary, the high points. God's people are ready to enter the land. Remember, they're here on the, let's see, I got to look at the map. They're over here on the east side of the Jordan, yeah. And they're ready to cross over. And we'll get to this later. For some reason, Joshua sends spies into the land. Did Joshua really need to send spies? We'll cover that later. The spies come to the house of Rahab, the prostitute, who appears most likely, as we look at the ancient Near Eastern records, she ran a boarding house or an inn. The question will be raised, and commentators go all over the place and spill a lot of ink. Was she a prostitute, or was she just simply a woman innkeeper and so therefore got that name? You know what? She was a sinner like the rest of us. And my guess is yes, that was the normal tradition of the day. If you were a resident of Jericho, that was just accepted. The spies come to her house. She naturally opens the door. Relationship builds with the spies. The king of Jericho then wants to find out where these spies are. Rahab already has perceived something about these men. She receives them. She protects them. She hides them. She lies for them. She covers for them. Notice another time in Scripture, for the direct protection of life, someone is commended for lying. Remember the Hebrew midwives? Now Rahab. It's for the direct protection of image bearers of God. But we then see that the spies see the faith that is put into action in Rahab. She has put herself, her family, at great danger by lying and covering for him. In other words, they see her faith in action. She communicates with them and says, I see your God. I want to know this God because we have watched this God work. And so that's, in summary, some of the bullet points that we see. Then they make the arrangements and say, I will let you out. Please protect my family, and the promises are made. So, how do we apply that for today? How many of y'all go to cities and, you know, put them up for destruction? This passage has been used in times past, the Crusades and Holy Wars, that, oh, see, we need to go. They forgot the epical adjustment. Do we fight a physical battle? No, we've already covered this in previous weeks. Our weapon of New Testament warfare since Christ has come is the sword of the Spirit. Remember Ephesians 6? We live in the light of the gospel. Paul puts it this way in Ephesians 6:12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And dropping down to 17, what's he command us to do as warriors in the new covenant battle? Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So, yes, we are all warriors. It's okay to sing the Sunday school song, you know, I'm in God's army. But remember, you do not literally take, as, you know, Peter in the garden, whoop, chopping ears off. Whoa. Last old covenant, man. We're now new covenant stuff. Let's move on. We take the sword of the Spirit. We lift the Word of God high. I don't physically assault the unbeliever. I do not wage a holy war within that way. I wage a holy spiritual war with the truth of God's Word. And so as we read Joshua, we have to make these epical adjustments. But here's the encouragement. These narratives, these stories were not given by accident. Hebrews 1. Long ago, in many ways, God's preserved these things. He's passed them to us so that we get it. And so these instruct us on how to wage spiritual warfare. And so we're not going to take up a physical sword. We're not going to run down to the center of Somerville on the third Thursday, pull out our swords and go, will you believe Jesus? Ugh, if not. That's not what we're called to do. But we will go down to the third Thursday and we will interact with people and we will start to find out, where are the Rahabs? Where are those who are, I see this God thing, and this is kind of interesting. I want to know more. We reach the ready is a good way to put it. Those that the Spirit are preparing. And so we do fight the battle, but we fight the battle with the sword of the Spirit. It's amazing, the Confession of Faith. Remember the Westminster Confession of Faith? It's one of our substandard documents that we have, or not rightly said there, but one of the documents, the Constitution of our church. All of those stand in submission to God's Word, okay? But the Westminster Confession of Faith gives us a wonderful summary. The Shorter Catechism, question number 26. How does Christ execute the office of a king? You know what the answer is? Christ executes the office of a king in subduing us to himself, in ruling and defending us, and in restraining and conquering all of his and all of our enemies. Oh, Joshua in practice, huh? King Jesus is our Joshua. And so as he goes and he conquers, he is conquering and calling to salvation all those that have been appointed unto eternal life, to steal the author of Acts. And you and I are in that army taking that message. And Jesus is executing the office of a king. He's conquering. You and I, we just get to follow along and revel in his glory. He's the powerhouse. And so, do you hear the gospel mission? We are on a people of God on a mission for God. Christ has conquered. He did that at the cross. He overcame the evil one. He destroyed Satan. He is now my king, and he leads me, you, us with him as we conquer. So, when it comes back to evangelism, you need to be like that little 14, 15-year-old when I went out and got off the bus going, "Can I tell you about Jesus? I got King Jesus on my side. All I need to do is take the message. I don't have to fear for fighting for King Jesus." Acts chapter 18. God spoke to Paul. The Lord said to Paul one night in a vision, 18:9, Acts, "Do not be afraid, but go on speaking, and do not be silent. For I am with you, and no one will attack you to harm you, for I have many in this city who are my people." Now, brothers and sisters, let me speak bluntly. I have been convicted heavily of recent that we're failing to be praying people, okay? I'm guilty. I'm who God has called as your leader, and we're failing you as your leaders to take this to heart. God says, "I have many people in this city," and I'm pointing around me, Somerville, all the zip codes that surround us. God has many people here. And are we out conquering? Are we out taking the message? Are we saying, "Jesus, help me on this mission"? No, we're comfortable sitting inside our four little walls and going, "Gee, can we pay the rent?" We need to be on mission, if you will. And so, what is the mission? It's taking the good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel. We've talked about this. I just did a whole series on the book of 1 Peter, and we've gone through. We're taking time to look at the gospel basics, and we're trying to drill that into your head so that you know the gospel forwards and backwards. But in simple forms, what's the gospel? I love the outline that we use in Saturate. God send Jesus faith. God send Jesus faith. Can memorize those? God send Jesus faith. There is a God. He's holy. We ain't. Sin. We rebelled against him. Now we go back to the story. What did Adam and Eve do? All of us rebel. Jesus, God's provision for unholy people like us, sinners, to be reconnected with the holy God. And how is that accomplished? God gives us what? The gift of faith. You see how God sent Jesus faith? Poof, I got it. We also can put it creation, fall, redemption, restoration. Another way to look at it. Power and purpose. God created everything to have relationship with him. The fall goofed that up. God provided redemption through Jesus, and we are now, through faith in Jesus, restored to him. I don't care how you learn the gospel. Get it. Know it. Think it. Make it ooze out of you if I push you. And so that's the gospel content. That's the message. Now, making the epical adjustment back to Joshua 2. What was the message these people were bringing? They were bringing the message that God was the God of the universe and He desired a people who would worship Him. And this land was their land. And He was bringing them in. So how do we fit this? How does these spies fit in? I would submit to you that God knew that Rahab and her family were those that He had appointed unto eternal life. Jericho was appointed for destruction, was it not? You remember, you can read ahead. Everything is to be wiped out. People, everything. Nothing's to be saved. But yet, why do we send spies? Because God knew some of His children. Rahab, the most unlikely of child, was there in the city. And so He sends these men with the message and He ordains. And a sovereignly ordained divine appointment, Soda, S-O-D-A, that they would meet. And Rahab, the Spirit gave her the gift of faith. And she says, I know this God. I want to know this God more. And do you see how that unpacks in this story? So here are the lessons that we need to walk away with. We are called to share the gospel to all of those that God places in your path. Think about it. Rahab was the most unlikely of converts. I mean, think about the Old Testament law. As a good Jew, are you to go hang around with prostitutes? Yeah. And what do? In the New Covenant, we're like, I don't think they would listen to the gospel. They wouldn't want to hear this. Quit making judgments. Let God do that. Just take the message. And so, I love the genealogy. Remember in Matthew chapter 1? Here's how Matthew starts it. When he speaks about the line of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 1:5. The book of genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac the father of Jacob. And Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers. And Judah the father of Perez and Zerah by Tamar. And Perez, the father of Hezron, and Hezron, the father of Ram. And Ram, the father of Abinadab, and Abinadab, the father of Nashon. And Nashon, the father of Salmon. And Salmon, the father of Boaz, by Rahab. What, you got a whore in the line of Jesus Christ? Yeah, Matthew's proud of it too. This was God's plan from the beginning of the earth. That He would bring about the Savior of the world through a sinner by the name of Rahab. Wow! That's amazing that this was foreordained. And so, here's what I submit to you. Rahab being the innkeeper, or the house of ill repute, or wherever you want to call it, where these spies came, was not by an accident. It was by the foreordination of our sovereign God. And it was amazingly a plan to redeem the most unlikely of people. And what do? Oh, I don't think they would want to hear this. Seriously? You're going to stand as judge? Let God do that. Just take the message. And so God has providentially led these spies to Rahab. And you can imagine as they begin to talk. Boy, can you imagine being the spy? You're in a hostile country where anything you say you'd be in a hangman's noose or your head would be cut off. I mean, you want fear. These guys had it. But think about God's Spirit going before them. And suddenly they're talking to Rahab and they're hearing Rahab go, yeah, I've seen this God. You represent this God and I want to know this God more. You can imagine the thing. And I come back. One of my favorite evangelism programs that I did years ago was called Reaching the Ready. And I love it for that title. You walk in step with the Holy Spirit to every person that you meet. You throw out things about creation and fall, redemption. You throw out blessings or, oh, isn't that amazing it's that you would love that person. You know, God gave it that ability to love. And then how do they respond? You're able to hear and hear the ready because God is working. Because you're not going to argue a person into the kingdom of heaven, are you? That's the Spirit's job. Your only job is to pick up the sword of the Spirit and carry it. And so what we see is this give and take as Rahab and the spies are talking back and forth. And you can imagine the spies going, you know what? She's kind of like talking about our God like she actually respects him and wants to worship him. Do you think we can entrust ourselves to her a little bit more? And about that time, and again, you know, the narrative is so brief. I want so much more. I want the movie, you know? But the narrative about that time. Hey, open up the door. Do we entrust ourselves to Rahab right now? Do we believe God's working? You can imagine all of this. This is how it is when we're doing evangelism sometimes. Are you practicing the presence of God as you interact with people and saying, I love it, Jim, this morning. You nailed it in Sunday school. It's like, I try to remember to have a dialogue with God the entire time I'm having dialogue with the person in front of me. That's sweet. You actually want to be a spirit-filled believer who keeps in step with the Spirit, as I think how Paul puts it. That's how we are to do this. Lord, show me, is this person one that you want me to carry forward? Or maybe I'm just planting the seed today and letting somebody else do it. That's cool. And so what we see here is that this is unfolding. You see, Rahab exercised faith in action. James wrote this, Jesus' brother. And in the same way, James 2:25, in the same way, was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and then sent them out another way? What's James saying? We know that Rahab had faith. Why? We look at her actions. Faith results in action. Did her action save her? No, it was the faith. But it results in action. So we're saved by faith. We're saved by a faith that is not alone. There is going to be action. There's going to be talk about this, and it's going to carry forward. Paul writes to the Galatians in Galatians 5:6, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. And that's what Rahab exercised, is a faith working through love and providing for these spies because they were the messengers of the Most High. I want a relationship with that Most High, and so I'm going to carry it out. And so we see that she confessed with her mouth. Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And so it's this faith put into action. So ask yourself, what kind of action is in my life? Would my neighbor know that I'm actually one of these Jesus freaks? Would my coworker, would my student that I go to school with? You see, is there action? And that's the key. Rahab's faith, in small as it was, changed her life. She stepped out on a limb in faith. I would submit to you, for us as believers, if you have a faith that has not changed your life, then you do not have faith. That's pretty serious words I'm saying. Brothers and sisters, I can tell you there's some days I go, Lord, do I have a faith? And I'm like that man that says, help me in my unbelief. We need to hear these words. Third major thing to remember, when you share God's gospel, you're going to be okay. That's the third message that I want you to get out of this. You remember that quaking teenager I told you getting off the bus? Oh, you know, I'm going to die out there. They're going to get mad at me. And oh, it's amazing all the stupid things that go through your brain. You know what I'm talking about, that self-talk. Do you have it? If you don't, you're weird. It happens in your head. And you talk to yourself and you lie to yourself and you listen instead of listening to the Word of God. But there's a lesson for us in today's narrative. Look at verses 22 and 23. They departed and went to the hills, and they remained there 3 days. And so as they had shared the good news, you can imagine, oh boy, she's going to sell us out. All those fears that came with that. No, they trusted God. And even trusted God to work through the prostitute Rahab that they had just met and trusted her faith. And she's like, here's how it works. You go out and you hide. You lay low until such time these men return, and then you can return safely. You want me to what? Entrust myself to you? And so what we see here is the spies were sent out by Joshua to take a saving message to Rahab. You ever thought about this? Jericho was appointed for destruction. There was no military reason to send spies. Read ahead. How does Jericho taken? God says, go out and do some walking. And then on the seventh day, play some horns. And boom. Will you need to lift a finger? No, you really won't. I'm going to capture it for you. So there was no military reason for Israel or Joshua to go and spy out the land. Can I give you the reason that those spies went? It was to redeem God's elect, Rahab and her family. What? Yeah. There's no other reason. God didn't need the intelligence. Hello, all-knowing, you know, you remember those attributes of God? He did not need military intelligence. No, God was on a redemption mission, and he used his people to send them into a very difficult and hostile situation, take the message of redemption to Rahab. Here's the application for you and I. Gabe does this a lot. When you share the gospel, there's going to be times that it doesn't always make sense. You're going to wonder, I don't think this person's going to hear this. Too bad, share it anyhow. Trust God. I don't think they're well suited to this message. You know, I've looked at their lifestyle and, I mean, hello, prostitutes, you're going to share it? Yeah, that's what they did. You see, the message for us is share the gospel. Take the sword of the Spirit and let God deal with the results. Let him do the work. Because any of y'all going to argue somebody into the kingdom of heaven? I know you try. But I got news for you. You're pretty impotent, okay? In terms, who argues people into the kingdom of heaven? Third person of the Trinity, right? Holy Spirit. He's the one who convicts the heart of sin. And so you may be used of God to bring pieces of truth, but it's going to be God himself who does the work. And so now we pick up Jim's method and go, Lord, help my stumbling lips say something that you're going to use in this person's life. It's that idea of, you got this, God. I'm here. Take it over and let it go. The second thing to remember is you are going to be safe sharing the gospel, so don't be afraid to share it boldly. It's amazing how many times over the years I've tried to soften the gospel. I can't tell that person he's a sinner. I've learned how to soften it. I start with telling them how bad of a sinner I am and how much grace God has showed me and how much grace he gives to others, all who will return to him. And so, you know, as you look at this, God provided the spies a place to stay, a place to hide. He made sure that they returned home safely. You see that all through the narrative. Acts chapter 4, New Covenant application of this. Acts chapter 4, verse 13, and when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and that they had perceived that they had been, that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished. And then they recognized they had been with Jesus. Could I say that about you? You're not the most eloquent. You're not the most skilled. But let people perceive you've been with Jesus. And they want to spend time with you because of that. That's part of what this whole process of saturate is all about as we talk about it. We see that God kept the spies safe. He directed their steps to the most unlikely of places, to the harlot's home. But God provided for them. They survived and they got home safely. You will too. I can assure you that if you are one of his and you are taking the message, you will make it home safely, albeit different methods than you may plan. But you will make it home safely because God will not lose one of his own. And so the last thing to remember is share the gospel with those to whom you are brought. Quit trying to judge whether or not they will receive it. Rahab was a prostitute. They shared the good news of God, how God had delivered them from Egypt, how God had brought them through the Red Sea, how he had wiped out the enemies in Egypt, how He had provided for them and fed them and cared for them so graciously, how their shoes didn't wear out, how their clothes, I mean, they could go on and on and on with a praise fest. What about you? Oh, I know we live in a fallen, messed up, stinky world. We could have a wine fest really easy right here and right now if we started whining about all the bad things that happen in this fallen world. How about we start having a praise fest about, amidst that, how God is blessing us amazingly in the midst of the fallenness. And He is redeeming me right now. I know it's all done deal when I get to heaven. But let me tell you how good He is already. I've got the now and the not yet. Now I don't have a glorified body, and yes, my knee hurts, and yes, this, and... But I know that I am saved. And I know what God is doing, and He cares for me. And so remember that His almighty power is at work. And so when you share the gospel, don't forget that. Look at Rahab's words in verses 10 and 11. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt. What you've done to those two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan. I mean, they annihilated them. We are scared. I want to know this God, because this is a powerful God. Let people see God in your life. And that requires that you be a little bit vulnerable. I love it as, you know, people love to call me reverent, and I hate that term. I'm not reverent. I'm a sinner like the rest of you. I'm only holy and righteous because of what Jesus did for me. And so I'll often flip that and go, I'm not. It's too easy for me in my mind and sometimes even in my mouth to let those words fly and come out because I forget who God is at that moment. I'm not holy. But I know Jesus who is holy. And I'm accepted in the Beloved and He's my hope. And so when I stand before God, I'm clinging to Him. And so what I've done at that moment is I have used the example of God in my life to point to God's evidence of grace. Because what do the people in the world hear about Jesus? They hear that garbage that's on TV. If you're good enough and holy enough, just maybe God will accept you. Isn't that the message? But it ain't the gospel, is it? Smells of smoke and it comes right out of the pit of hell, that message. The gospel message is that Jesus did for sinners what they can't do for themselves. And by faith we receive His holiness and His righteousness. And so because of that, I live differently. You know, the whole idea, part of why we live as a church and why we're trying to live in community and missional communities is, what did Jesus say? John 13:35, by all this, all people will know that you're my disciples. How? If you have love for one another. Why would you do that for that person? Because they're my brother. Why would you do that for me? Can I tell you about how much God loved me? And I figured I needed to pass it on. And I'm able to point Him right back to the Savior who redeemed me when I didn't deserve it. Remember this promise. Your God is actively working His predetermined plan in your life. Joshua 2 is a freaky story. Why in the world would He go and redeem the prostitute in the middle of a wicked land that is set aside to destruction? Because it was part of His predetermined plan. God has some of your neighbors, some of your chums at school, some of your coworkers. I don't know who, but there are people right here in this community that God has placed in your life, not my life, but your life. Get together as believers in the community of God and begin to live intentionally and strategize how you can be like the spies taking that message. To redeem those people. Let God's glory shine in your life. Don't be afraid to let others know how much bondage and sin you were tied up in. Sometimes we come across like, oh, I'm so good. Hogwash. Far from it. But God was gracious and merciful. And let me help you understand that God can be gracious and merciful to you. You see how by our appropriate transparency we can share with people. Yes, I struggle with that too. You do? I thought you were like one of those church people. Yeah, you know what? Church people do too. What a beautiful picture. Remember this truth of the gospel. Jesus is God. God forgives sin through Jesus. That's the gospel. And so wield the sword. Pick up the sword of the Spirit. Remember, God, sin, Jesus, faith, creation, fall, redemption, restoration. I don't care how you put the gospel. Talk the gospel. Ooze the gospel. Live the gospel. Find the Rahabs in your life. They're there. Start talking with them. Have lunch with them. Invite them to breakfast. Do whatever. And then communicate the good news, because you don't have to fear. Nobody's going to cut your head off. And God's going to show himself powerful. Let's believe the narratives that we've been given and apply them to us today. How amazing is that?